Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. Gosh, you know what? I want you to take stock in something. And first of all, thank you for being there. Do you believe that we are doing this show on the 29th of July? Has this year flown by more than years that you can ever remember? Wow, July the 29th. We've got a few more days in July, and then it's August. So we are more than halfway past 2014. That is just crazy. But here is what is not crazy, this show today. Oh, my friend, I'm so glad you're there, because when Alex Snydman, when I think of him and the kind of spirit that he has, what he has been able to do with his music, the fact that he was a guitarist and changed to a drummer, that kind of focus that has driven him to this beautiful CD called Fortunate Action and made so many inroads as far as his relatively young career is concerned. I'm just so tickled I can't even say. He's a lover-dover. He is. He's just so sweet. And he's going to be here next hour on the show to talk about the continuation of his East Coast tour. Oh, yes. But right now we're going to start off with something classic from 1971. You're going to get a few classics today. Pharoah Sanders and Astral Traveling on Hybrid Jazz.
Try to forget it.
one of the busiest ladies in show business, no kidding, and you just heard the reason why. Flourish. Lynn Fidmont right there from 2006 and Flow. You are loved. The letter U, the letter R, loved. It's like romantic graffiti. It's beautiful. Lynn Fidmont has been in Vienna this past month and Munich, traveling with Natalie Cole, the Rotterdam Jazz Festival, snapped a picture on her Facebook page with Quincy Jones and Stevie Wonder. Oh, man, I'm telling you, she has the coolest life. And she wrote to me the other day, I'm so tickled to hear this, because she clarified some information about Walter Beasley and she. They're friends from long ago. Walter Beasley has huge ties with Washington, D.C. So Walter is coming to Blues Alley, and Lynn and he are going to do a date on September 7th at Ram's Head in Annapolis. So you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get Lynn and Walter on the show together, which would be really cool, wouldn't it? I love it when old friends get together and there's some bonding and you can feel the love. So we're working on that. Groove School, the center song there, the cream center of the Oreo cookie, if you will. That was one of those songs from limited edition back in 2010 that just hit you between the eyes, brother to brother. And don't forget, I'm going to make this clear to you, because Christian Dimasones, the founder of Groove School, was just on the show the other day. And I just see that he has shared a status that I've got on Facebook. That's pretty cool. Tickets are moving well. Yay! Christian's going to be with the what he calls the Smooth Jazz All-Stars. Of course, I wouldn't call it that, but I'm just tickled that he has a little niche going on, and he still uses hybrid too. His All-Stars are going to be in Northridge, Virginia this Saturday at K2, which is a club that I have never frequented. This will be my first time this Saturday. Rob Maletek, Eddie Backus Jr., good pal, Willie Bradley, Elliot Levine, yay, Kenny Wesley, who's going to be on this show come Thursday with David P. Stevens. I'm a little bit tickled about that, just a little bit. So there you go. You heard Groove School, and from what I understand from Christian, from what he said the other day, there is work anew on a project that will be out maybe sometime later this year or 2015. We'll see how it goes. Pharoah Sanders started the set, Astral Traveling from Thembi, 1971, named after Pharaoh's wife, Thembi. Very interesting project because, first of all, Lonnie Liston Smith was experimenting with electric keys on this. Kind of radical stuff. And then Pharoah was pulling back from his vastly experimental style to a lighter approach. So it was not only sax on this work, but Pharoah pulled out a few stoppers. Flute, fife, and balafone is what he used too. African thumb piano is what that is. And cowhorn, not cowbell, cowhorn. Clifford Jarvis on drums, on African percussion, Nat Bettis, Majid Shabazz, and Anthony Wiles. There was a female engineer named Lillian Davis. Also, Cecil McBee was on here on bass, and Michael White on violin. Just beautiful work. Astral Traveling. And it brings me to mind that I'm about to play Tony Bunn, because Tony in the mid-70s was traveling with Sun Ra. So there were probably exchanges on the road with Pharoah Sanders and company. Man, Tony's writing a book. He's finishing up the book, not so much on his musical traveling, but on the concept of what Tony perceives to be going on between men and women. Very interesting cat, as is Alex Snydman coming up next hour. Very excited about that. Let's do Small World from 2009, shall we? Mm-hmm. Title track here, Tony Bunn on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
turning 61 on Friday and looking fine. Robert Cray and his band, the 5-time Grammy winner from Strong Persuader in 1986, the breakthrough album. There's been a few, haven't there? Yes. Smoking Gun. You know, interesting discussion. T and I were having, this has been a very busy morning, so I had to take T to the bank, and we listened to this AM oldie station. It's just our station of preference. Yeah, back to the AM, right? So we heard Brown Sugar, and T was expressing concern to me over the lyrical content of the song, because the Stones say, hear the men whipping the women just around midnight. So I said, you know, that kind of song probably wouldn't be accepted in 2014, just like Smoking Gun wouldn't, because there's just been so much violence, and we're so over the top with what's going on in society that we're extremely sensitive about the content of songs. But I told T back then we could get away with anything. Almost. Now that was in 1986, this particular package and song. But, you know, Robert Cray likes to delve into those seamier sides of things. Cheating, killing, adultery. Well, cheating and adultery, sometimes the same thing, but you understand what I'm saying. The new album is called In My Soul, and to support it, he's got a heavy tour schedule. I'm not sure if you have seen him lately. I know Griselda's in the chat room. Beach is in the chat room, too. Yay, my girls. So Beach was going to take a look to see what he's doing these days. He's wearing suits, looking good. And I hope that he's keeping his health up, because from what I saw, there were dozens of dates that he's going to do. So happy birthday to Robert Cray, 61 on Friday. Richard Elliott in the middle there, new lip service, doing so well on Amazon and iTunes, and I believe Billboard as well. Giving It Up to You from Lip Service. You know, I have to say that when Richard was on the show, how can I say this? I've never interviewed Richard until that time, and I was so pleasantly surprised at how receptive he was to conversation and to time, spending some time, and his humility. Because you know what? With some artists, you hear some things through the years, so you prepare yourself a little bit. And I have to say that now I am such an avid fan that I'll go to bat for him in ways that even he might be scared about. No, it shouldn't be. Summer Horns is on a full roll. Lord, have mercy. Kaz, Mindy Hebert, Gerald Albright, Richard Elliott, touring everywhere. I'm not kidding you. It's just crazy. When you go to Richard Elliott's site, you'll see all of those tour dates. And speaking of Richard, his good friend Rick Braun, I didn't know this until this morning. Rick is going to be opening up for Al Jarreau at the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival. Yeah. And look, can I just say this? And I know that Beach and Griselda will agree with me. Had an interesting back and forth with Bob Baldwin and Catherine Gilrain yesterday on a post that Bob Baldwin put forth about these R&B acts taking precedence, headlining jazz festivals. Now, without getting into a big deal about this, let's just say this. I'll continue to be Susie Sunshine on Facebook in regard to festivals that are indeed jazz festivals, but I will also blast those festivals that call themselves jazz that do not have jazz headliners. I do not want to see Bruno Mars or Kim as the headliner, or Jill Scott, or insert name here, headlining over folks who have paid their dues in jazz. Is that sufficient for now? Okay. Just wanted to make that clear. Tony Bunn would agree, I'm sure. Small world. Tony is doing his thing back and forth to Denmark, finishing up his book, as we mentioned, and keeping tabs on our friend Dennis Chambers, who had a spell some several days ago and hopefully continues to be stabilized. I believe he's in Spain. I'm not sure if Renee has flown him back to the States, so we'll keep it posted as far as we know. By the way, Tony on his Facebook page has a glorious video. You must go. If you're friends with Tony, go to his page and see the video that he posted about, seriously, I'm not kidding about this, an angel intervening in a man's death on the highway. You have to go and see this. It's mind-blowing. That's all I'll say. Let's give you some Hiromi, shall we? 8 minutes and 32 seconds. I love this. Woo! Love Alex Snydman, too, coming up. Can't wait for that kind of conversation. Very positive. Hiromi from Alive from June. Just a month ago, this is Dreamer on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back. This is Hyper Jazz.
Thy hour danced with storm, thou can't help wonder why. Those impromptu twirls have taken to the sky. Diana shouted to the world, but now it tamed her tongue. Lulled into the piper's steam, her song remains on.
Have dug ever since last year listening to Fortunate Action. Alex Snydman is just one of those, it's just going to be hard to articulate the kind of feeling that many of us get. Not saying all, because, you know, music and chemistry are so akin. You can fall in love with a musical piece the way you fall in love with a person, honestly. So when I first heard Fortunate Action, I thought to myself, because I was not familiar with Alex Snydman at all, which is the case with so many guests that have been on Hyper Jazz, and this has been one of the glorious kind of components to how much fun it is to put the show together week after week. When you don't know an artist and then get to know him or her, you wonder, whoa, it seems like I've known them for a long time. What did I do before I didn't have their music? Such is the case with Alex. So I'm listening and I'm getting deeper involved in the music, and I'm appreciating how much chemistry is going on with the other musicians on the CD with Alex. And I'm thinking to myself, oh God, Trish, you're going to go back into old hippieville, because what you're essentially saying or feeling when you describe all this is that you feel as though you're in an atmosphere of love. And how can that be? But it just is. So what you have just heard is one of those glorious songs from Fortunate Action, Eternal Recurrence. There's a couple more that you're going to hear, but first, you have to hear the man behind the artistry, right? Of course you do. Guitarist turned drummer, composer, educator, wonderful human being. Please make welcome again. Yes, a return visit to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Alex Snydman. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Trish. How are you?
Look at that smile in your voice. Look at that.
Deja vu. Definitely. I think that's exactly how it opened last time.
Yes. And you do. You are one of those people, having met you in person, that you do smile when you talk to people because it means so much to you. And it reflects in your music to the utmost degree. Has anybody ever told you that?
I've heard it at different times, that it's coming across in the album. Like Downbeat compared it, but their words were that I am using the Brian Blade Heartland approach. They said something like that, and I guess I relate to that. I mean, that's the part of music that's most important to me, is like trying to convey something positive about the emotional human experience, something about will or love or, certainly heartache, which can bring about great love. But kind of a philosopher at heart, I guess. I was going to say, like, I don't know if this is self-deprecating, but I also feel like, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve. So it's not as though I'm always just walking around smiling with, like, rose-colored glasses. It's like, if I'm not happy, or, like, if I don't feel like I played well, sometimes it's hard for me to fake it, you know?
Yeah.
Like oh, everything's great, because it does matter to me so much. And yeah.
Well, you know, what you do and what you understand, and it brings to mind something from Fortunate Action that I'll bring up. And it's kind of one of those stories that I wouldn't ordinarily bring up, but you just mentioned something that got me. And I was so immersed in different tunes when I first heard Fortunate Action, and I still get immersed, because when you listen to something a second or third or fourth time, you might change as far as, oh, I'm drawn to that song now, and I wonder what's making me drawn to that song now. But Alex, here's the thing about you. You're so both childlike in your heart. Your motives are some of the purest I've seen in any musician. You really do love, and you plow through life with this love, and sometimes I guess people don't know what to make of you because you have so much inside of you. But on the initial listen to Fortunate Action, I was listening to Ellington and Strayhorn's Star-Crossed Lovers, And I know that there has been some heartache as far as your past is concerned, but what you are able to do in the way of your feelings and how you translate them to us, even though there might be some pain that's evident in a song or in the playing or in the vibe, you also give us a hand to feel hope, which is cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I tend to feel deeply no matter what it is that I'm feeling, you know. But lately, I mean, since we last talked and before, but especially now, really the animal rights stuff, and of course always human rights stuff, but the animal rights stuff is really at the forefront of my heart.
Yes, I see that.
I want to clarify to listeners, too, that it's not that I'm anti-meat eating in theory. It's just that this industrial agriculture has become this, like, maniacal, truly grotesque reflection of the worst parts of humanity. I don't mean to put anyone on the defense there, but I really think that we will look back on this, and I do think that things are changing. Slowly, you know, with Europe is banning cosmetic testing on animals. We're shutting down zoos that abuse animals, and you know, it's actually finally in the United States, it's becoming a felony to animal abuse. I mean, it's crazy that that wasn't a felony,
right?
In all 50 states. So
I hear you, and you know what, you are. Something, gosh, we've been talking about this in various kinds of subject matters, but in this particular case, it's urgently needed. You're a squeaky wheel. You are
right.
Making sure that people do not get away with this crap, and I am so grateful for
right.
you because guess what? The more attention that you draw to something, as opposed to, oh gosh, I heard this so much growing up in my life, and I am the complete antithesis. Oh, don't say anything. You don't want to make any waves. Oh, no. Oh, yes, I do want to make waves. Good for you. Good. Yay.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, to be honest, I find it really interesting because I've gotten pretty heavy into petition signing and posting on Facebook, and I'm sure that you've seen a lot of the posts, if not all of them. And in my peer group at school, I actually been kind of almost ostracized a little bit because people don't seem to care, and I think they feel. I think human nature 101 is to kind of, if you feel judged, then you then project the feeling that the supposed judgment makes you feel. And meanwhile, I just want, you know, people to care because it does seem so egregious and obvious and, you know, no one's perfect. It's just that we're striving, hopefully, to become better people every day and every choice.
Alex,
not like,
you know, we've reached a crossroads in the United States. We have to get recommitted. I mean, how dare anyone feel as though they don't either have a say or worse even, how dare you not get involved in what's at stake for us right now and our future children? How dare us, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. I agree. And, you know, it's like, that's funny because I thought I was, like, coming on too strong by, like, sharing my opinion or something. But to hear you say that, I really appreciate that because I do feel that way. I think it's, you know, people don't vote, you know, in my generation. But, yeah, not everyone, obviously. Some people are voting. But we vote every day with the dollar. This is basically what we talked about last time, too. I mean, it's our dollar and the petitions and standing up for what's right. That's what actually our representatives are hearing. If you get 100,000 voices on a petition, they're going to be listening to that.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And in a lot of cases, they are. You know, we hear these victory stories. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you really, even more than last time, because we talked about quite a bit last time, but even more now, because there is a tendency for people to think, and I thought that the days of Jerry Seinfeld TV, me first, was over, but it's not. People have become either blasé or jaded or indifferent or so angry that they have become inert. But the tendency is to think, if it doesn't affect me personally, I don't want to get involved. Oh, my
right,
God.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Really? Oh, no. I don't have any of those people around me whatsoever. This is why I think that I've become more of a loner.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so you relate.
It's tricky. Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, luckily, you know, I do, maybe not in my direct geographical sphere, have a lot of them, those people, but in my life I've aligned myself with a lot of people who do care. And, you know, caring shows up in different ways, so it can be in any form. But I do think that next step is stuff that might appear like it doesn't directly affect you or your loved ones, but, you know, taking that step to help someone else's loved ones, whether that be a cow's loved ones or, you know, it doesn't really matter. But pick something, go for it, you know.
That's true. There's a lot of folks who don't even realize the scope of what's happening to animals out there. They've
yeah.
not taken the time. And meanwhile, they have pets, and we were just talking about this earlier because I've got Beach in Southern California, and I've got Griselda in Texas who says hello to you, by the way.
Hey, Griselda.
And I've got guests that are floating back and forth. But Beach was saying that where she is, she's in the northern, getting to be the northern part of California. And the next door neighbor has a dog outside, and the dog is continually barking. And, you know, this is just a simple thing, but it bears mentioning. We've got this in our neighborhood, too. If there's an animal outside for any prolonged period of time, in excessive heat or in excessive cold, or you keep the dog outside, you got to wonder, what would be your motivation to have a pet? You know?
Right.
And
especially if it's tied up outside. Yeah.
Right. And then I'm hearing such awful things about Craigslist, and I didn't want to get even involved in this. I didn't know if we were going to go in this direction or not, but never, ever advertise any animal on Craigslist. Never.
Yeah.
Because they're being used for terrible things.
Yeah.
You know about this, all of this.
Yeah, I do. And it's hard to look at because it's, you know, I sign on to all these different animal rights groups, and even someone like me who really does care and I take, you know, usually about 40 minutes a day to sign as many petitions as I can. And I start to almost, and I really want to emphasize the word almost, resent the fact that now I'm being inundated with even more really horrific imagery. But I kind of quiet the voice that's like, I don't want to see this. And I kind of raise the voice that's like, this isn't right, and I'm going to sign and share. And, the Craigslist thing, people, you know, the amount of horrendous things that people can end up doing to an animal advertised on Craigslist is really, we don't need to go into, but,
right.
Yeah, it's never a good form of trying to find a home for an animal. It's definitely not. So
no.
People should know that. seems harmless
and, you know,
enough, but it's not.
It's tough, Alex, isn't it, for you to try to keep balanced as far as all of this is concerned, because, you know, your basic spirit, Eric Harlan said it, and I love what he said, Alex embodies the spirit we call love. You are all about love. And it's just really hard. It affects you so much. So to try to keep your balance with this and to focus on the beauty of music might be a little tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. it is tricky. I mean, I keep thinking... You know, the truth is that, and this is actually a nice little segue, but we can table the segue for one sec so I can answer the question. But basically halfway through this last semester at school at CalArts, I finally hooked up with the pianist that I had my eyes on, Brian Havey, who's on this tour with me right now.
Oh, wow.
He's phenomenal. And this is the segue, but might want to come back to it. We had a big gig in LA at the Blue Whale, and that was like the peak of my semester. And then the next 2 months, I just like sank into a pretty depression because I was posting all these petitions, and I'm friends with like, you know, 200 people at school, at least on Facebook. And I see, you know, my petitions that are like really worthy causes will get like one like, maybe two, three likes, and then right next to it, a girl in the dance department will get a new haircut and post a selfie of it, and she'll get like 200 likes from the same people that are seeing the same post. And obviously it's not about the likes. It's about, wait a minute, if Facebook is a social barometer for where we're at and where we're putting our values, like, that's great. Put a selfie up. I love it. I'll like it too. Like, great haircut, you know. But it takes no more than 10 to 15 seconds to sign your name and even repost if you want to get that much more involved. But that's why I kind of, as this was happening, it really did get under my skin at school, and I was really feeling pretty isolated, because what is friendship other than like kind of shared values and connecting on some sort of deep level? And I'm all about getting silly and having fun, like, definitely. But usually I have to form a bond first that's founded in kind of real life issues, you know, and connecting. And relating to your question, it is hard to strike a balance when you find yourself, if you care this much about real issues, you got to wonder if sitting in a practice room working on rudiments or whatever for 6 to 8 hours a day is really an efficacious way of dealing with trying to end certain atrocities that you're seeing around you. And the music school vibe, you know, while it is really great to be around one another and be learning from one another, it's also kind of just the bubble, you know, and it's kind of self-indulgent on some level. I do have a hard time trying to find the balance, and I keep thinking that when I get out of school, I would like to work for an organization like PETA or something. I think that would be a really cool part-time job, and a good
You'd
outlet
be great.
For. Thanks. Yep. Yeah, I think that's. I got to do something more.
Well, you know what, Alex? I get a little cranky when it comes to people in groups. I get disappointed, and I constantly, from my spiritual perspective, I get pulled back, because for me, God reels me back and says, I'm telling you, Trish, stop judging. And I have to say to myself, okay, I understand that. Thank you for reeling me in. I understand. But here's the thing with people. As a whole, we are so inundated with the onslaught of what's happening with news, what's happening with Facebook and Twitter. The feed that we get didn't used to be like this. So in their defense, those that are around you at school, we don't know whether that gal who took the selfie, we don't know whether she goes home to an abusive relationship. We don't know whether a guy who's your classmate has a situation at home where he's got a sick child and he's feeling the pressure so much. So I always gravitate to one of these four agreements. I'm not a huge fan of the book. I have to reread it to digest it. But one of the four agreements says that you can't take anything personally.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're talking about Don Miguel Ruiz?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that really does help because, you know, part of you, Alex Snydman, is a part that is joyful and wants and needs to be effervescent. So don't let all of that rob your joy. You know what your mission is on Earth. It's to make people aware, but other people aren't at that commitment level. So when the balance is more evened out and you don't take it personally, they'll be more committed because you'll be able to, and this sounds cold and I don't mean it to be, but you'll care less about them jumping on the bandwagon that you point out to them because there will be other things in your path that you need to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the non-judgment piece is the key, and that's the tricky inner work that we all are dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. And I was doing... While I was injured for a year and I thought I wasn't going to be able to pursue music, I don't know if I'm sure we talked about this probably last year, but I started studying at the University of Santa Monica, which does a master's in spiritual psychology.
Oh, so, whoa, okay.
Did I never tell you this?
No.
I don't know if I, yeah. I was flying out there, actually. I was still living on the East Coast, but it was like a once-a-month kind of immersive for like 5 days at a time. It was really, really powerful. Yeah, it was like a really powerful experience for me. And they're really hitting home the idea of judgment. And the analogy that they drew was that every judgment that you accumulate in life is like carrying around a backpack full of boulders. So somewhere in the kind of what we sometimes call the divine dichotomy, where it appears like good and evil are kind of at work, and somehow through grace, like you can see past that, and at least remove the judgment piece and do what's right for you in your heart, moment to moment. Somewhere in there lies like a relief, and you can empty that backpack full of boulders one by one. And so it was a helpful, you know, even though day to day I lose sight of that and I might judge something if I see someone throw something on the ground or tug on a dog's collar the wrong way or judge myself, you know, for playing shittily. Oh, I don't know if I'm sorry if I'm not allowed to swear.
No, that's okay. Hey, it's my show. You can do anything you want.
Nice. Oh, man. You know, it's just a matter of gaining the habit of taking the time to notice and self-reflect and make good choices, even if they're like internal choices of judgment. So.
Yeah, I hear you. It's very challenging not to do that because, first of all, if you've ever noticed, sometimes people get together and how they bond the most, sadly, and this happens frequently, they latch on to something that they mutually dislike. So how the relationship begins, as opposed to something that they mutually enjoy and are positive in discussing. So I'm always cognizant of, you know, for me, I'm always aware of what it says in the New Testament about if you're going to judge somebody, make sure you remove the boulder in your eye before you throw stones at anybody else. So it's powerful imagery for me because my son, who's 22, and you know a little bit about him, Alex, he constantly reminds me. He looks at me dead on and says, "Are you being judgmental?"
Wow.
Whoa.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he is because he's rarely judgmental. He's got a heart that is full of compassion, and it's so good to have him in this home because he's the gauge. He's the constant reminder of how to treat people. So
that's awesome.
It is. It is. And so are you. And you know what? Doggone it. Can we go back to this All About Jazz review? Because they just fell in love with Fortunate Action. You are aware of that,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, no, I was really thrilled with that review. Sure, we can talk about that.
Wow. I mean, according to the reviewer there, you quite possibly could be the next greatest thing since sliced bread.
I don't know about that. Sliced bread's pretty good.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. And you must be a little used to this now, Alex, because people perceive of you as being different. Are you catching that?
I'd be curious to know how people are perceiving me. I mean, I'm kind of an underdog because of how late I started, and I admire my heroes so much, like my contemporary heroes, like Eric Harlan and Demire Williams and Damion Reed and Jonathan Blake and, you know, Greg Hutchinson, John, all these, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And I really don't view myself at all like in the same, I shouldn't be mentioned in the same sentence as these people, you know? And so I think what makes me different maybe is maybe my songwriting a little bit, because, you know, everyone when it comes to writing has their own voice. And maybe the message that I'm trying to convey through the music, and maybe the fact that I started as late as I am, so it gives me a slightly different perspective on it. But,
yeah.
You know, greatest thing since sliced bread would be a major over compliment, but I appreciate that.
Well, the fact that you did start late, the fact that you in your senior year decided that drumming was more in tune with you, you followed the distant drummer that in a literal sense was. You have this different kind of passion in your playing. It's an eagerness. It's a hunger. And you add so much to a song that maybe wouldn't sound as refreshing in somebody else's fingers who have been drumming for maybe 20 or 30 years more than you. So there.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I guess I am eager in that way, and try to find the real energy of the song and try to honor that while playing. But, always trying my best, that's for sure. Always trying my best. And I think really importantly, trying to find music that inspires me in that way. So, you know, every tune on Fortunate Action, at least, you know, that's one of those rare moments where if you're doing an album, you can really pick the music that, you know, your favorite 9 tunes that you might be playing at the time, or, you know, that album stemmed out of the title track, Fortune in Action, which was an inspiration that I felt first as an emotion related to really reflecting about intuition and how it's always speaking to us, even when you're, it might be telling you something that might be difficult to hear, but kind of taking note of the fact that it usually is leading you to betterment no matter what. So even if you got to walk through the fire for a second, it usually doesn't feel as bad as it as you think, and it's always leading you to something better. So, yeah, I actually, you know, something I may not have mentioned is that that tune was also stemmed from an inspiration that I got from Gerald Clayton, the great pianist Gerald Clayton.
I love
anyone
him.
Listening?
Yes.
Yeah, he's, you know, I don't know how much you rave about him, but he deserves, I mean, he's just an amazing voice.
Oh, he's been on the show, honey. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, really? Oh, man,
yeah.
I got to listen back. I'd love to hear that interview. That's cool.
Yes.
He's a real, he's a hero of mine, and I know I got to do a gig with his bass player, Joe Sanders, once. We've played a couple
times.
Oh,
yeah, but, Joe Sanders is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he is serious. But,
yes.
But, yeah, you know, Gerald's song, Major Hope, you know that?
Oh, yes. You know, there's so much work that I don't know by him, and of course I know his dad. I'm going to play something by his dad today, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
Yes, I am familiar, and I'm trying to assimilate because there's so much in my head. I'm trying to figure out how it sounds in my head now. Go ahead.
It opens with this really hip vamp that's, I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to sing it, but that tune I was listening to on repeat when I was kind of like going through a hard time, and I was walking on the beach with my iPod listening to that and just like feeling that you can get from music where it's kind of shivers up the spine. And I was like, you know what? I want to, and I was having thoughts, of course, you know, you're always kind of, I feel like good jazz brings about self-reflective realization. And so for lack of a better word, I call that intuition. And so that led me to write Fortunate Action, because I wanted to have a tune that was inspired by that notion. So that's really, I got to give credit to Gerald Clayton for writing
Major
Hope. Yeah, I mean, it's the tunes don't really sound the same, but I bet you if you listen to it, you could be like, oh, huh, I could see how he, you know, why I'm saying what I am. It was inspired by that to some extent.
That's cool. I wonder if, you know what, you should tell him. Did you ever tell him?
I haven't, actually. I don't think he's heard Fortunate Action. I'll send him. I need to reach out.
Oh, listen.
To him.
He would love this CD. He would love it because Gerald is much like you in that the music is everything. The world stops in order to focus on what the world needs. And Gerald and you are of the same mind in that regard because, you know, it doesn't, the deadlines matter, yes. The clock ticking for recording time, yes, that matters. But the song is everything. So, you know, you need to make sure that there's as much healing from it as you possibly can squeeze out of it.
Yeah, he's a master of that. I'd love to get to play with him sometime.
Oh, betcha you will. And it's so cool because in paraphrasing what you had intended for Fortunate Action to mean, I'm going to be thinking about this, Alex, because I really like this. To me, it's, and this, again, using some of your words, but not all, the positive ripples that multiply when we listen to our inner voice.
Yeah, that's it.
Man, that's so cool. And you have all of the artists on the CD, and by the way, you're so generous in making sure that each one had a voice with their own song on your CD. You're such a loving person. Are all of these artists friends of yours, or were you just blessed to have them on the project?
I'd say both. They were all, it was hard to include. I wanted to, you know, I played with more pianists than that on the East Coast, and I had to kind of pick and choose, and I created the album from my own pocket, so, you know, it just gets expensive when you include more people.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I really, really love the idea of playing original music from friends of mine that are kind of under the radar jazz musicians whose tunes I feel like are equally valid as some of my favorite standards or favorite modern jazz tunes. And I'm still doing that on the upcoming album, which I guess we're premiering a couple of the songs from it on this tour that we're doing right now.
Great.
But yeah, it's pretty exciting. I wrote the title track. The album is going to be called Sound Love. So,
it's
upcoming Sound Love, and there's a Marty Jaffe arrangement of Moonlight in Vermont that we're going to be doing. And Marty is living in New York now. He's playing in the Juilliard jazz combos. He goes to Columbia, but he's doing like a dual degree. He's ridiculous. Marty Jaffe, certainly up and coming. And there's a bunch of new tunes from me and my good friend Jeff D'Antona. He's a pianist. He was in New York. Now he's in Boston teaching and gigging. He has a really cool tune called Lights Out that we're also going to record and we're doing on the tour.
Awesome.
I wrote another new piece called Lift the Fallen, which is really about what we're talking about when we take the time to care for humans or animals that can't take care of themselves in that moment. So it's kind of like in dedication to all those who are taking the time to, whether it's give to a homeless person, you know, or sign a petition or care for an animal, whatever. So that's what that song's about. And yeah, I'm excited about it. And
beautiful.
I'm really, really pumped. This new pianist I've been playing with, Brian Havey, he is really special, really, really humble. He plays with a lot of influence from Brad Meldow, who's pretty much his number one guy, I would say.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he's real cool. He's amazing. You got to come out to one of the shows and check him out if you're around, Trish. I'll put you on the list, of course.
You know what?
Yeah.
And seriously, Alex, these dates came up so quickly. It seemed like a while ago we were talking about having you on the show again, and then all of a sudden here are the dates. Do you mind if we do this? I now have Tony Bunn. Tony is my great friend who's one of the premier bassists to me in the world, and he divides his time between Maryland and Denmark. And he's listening in the chat room right now because he wanted to hear you. Can I please play Crossfade by you from the CD?
Sure, but I didn't write that one. That just
I know.
Gave credit to
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. That was Doug Abrams' tune.
Yes, I already played Eternal Recurrence by you, and I wanted to make sure somebody else got a little something-something.
Sure.
And a third tune that we're going to play at the end of the interview was pivotal to me because of what you said about it. So stand by for that. But this is some very cool energy that you and the guys had. And I've never played this before on Hybrid Jazz, so I wanted you to be around when I did, if that's cool.
Awesome. Very cool. I appreciate it.
Okay. Alex Snydman is our guest today on Hybrid Jazz, and this is Crossfade from Fortunate Action.
Thank you.
and there we are. I'm like totally riveted. I'm like, okay, that was the crossfade, because the crossfade is not really a fade at the end. It's a cold end. I was enjoying
that,
so much.
Mm. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, we enjoyed it too, as you could tell by the screaming.
You know what? That's part of the joy of that. And see, that's what I wanted to mention, because when we have this come to an end and this hour is flying by, you said something, Alex, in the liner notes of Fortunate Action, and this is why I love to have hard copies. It's such a difference to have a hard copy, because the sound is better, and then you have a piece of you that you can hold on to. You know what? It's a very simplistic thing, but people don't say this often enough. This is what you said about Herbie Hancock's Tell Me a Bedtime Story. It's in the rankings of my all-time favorite songs to play. When was the last time you heard somebody say, I love to play that? It's supposed to be joy to play, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that does kind of sum it up. It's like let's get fired up, because we're about to play this song that you love, you know?
Yes.
I do love playing that. Yeah.
And that's why I loved, you were at, when I saw you, you were at Undie Music, and you had such, you look serious, of course, because you look serious on the picture that we see all the time of Alex Snyderman, but you have such joy in playing, and it's clear that those who are around you take the joy that you focus on. So what will it be like? I mean, here you are in Annapolis on the 31st and in D.C. at Twins for 3 days. You do not get to play at Twins Jazz unless you're all that, honey.
Well, yeah, I feel really lucky to be doing the three-night stint, because that's like, on so many levels, it's just a real treat to be able to be in one place, finally rest. And, you know, I can actually practice. I can be practicing and then show up to the gig and not worry about driving long distances. And we can eat. Believe it or not, we'll even eat that day. To get the Sunday night as well is going to be really cool. So, yeah, we're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I do want to mention, any New Yorkers who are listening, we're playing our debut at Shapeshifter Lab in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Actually tomorrow night. So that's on the 30th. And it's a really cool serendipitous triple bill. I found out a pianist I used to play with a ton, really when I was first starting to play drums, who's really phenomenal. His name's Jarrett Cherner, and he went to Manhattan School of Music, and he's a monster. And he's bringing a ridiculous trio with Jorge Roeder and I'm trying to remember the name of the drummer, last name Berger. I'm kicking myself for not remembering his first name, but I've heard him play. He's amazing. They're opening the set, and then another woman who I wasn't sure, I've never heard of her, but I'm sure she's amazing. But she's got George Schuler on drums. They're playing the 8 o'clock set, and then we go on at 9. So,
cool.
So I'm really psyched to share the stage with, you know, at least share a night with Jarrett. So it was pretty cool serendipity. And then, oddly enough, he's playing Twins the night before we get there. Well, we're at 49 West. He's playing Twins. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. We're like in orbit right now, me and Jared.
That reminds me of the expression when somebody talks about the good old days, a person reminds the person who refers to the good old days and says, these are the good old days.
Right, exactly.
That is so awesome. Oh, my gosh. See, a lot of things are happening. How far away you're going to school now? What's the modus operandi? You're getting what degree, and when will that happen?
I'm getting a master's in jazz performance, and that theoretically will happen after this year is over because I was going part time. But I'm actually thinking about going. I'm actually thinking about spending a little more time just because there's so much to absorb out there. There's the really strong world music scene out there at Cal Arts. And
I love that.
There's just so much. I mean, honestly, I could go on for a long time talking about Randy Gloss and all the great teachers, Larry Kuntz, Joe LaBarbera. So there's a lot to get from Cal Arts that's not even the straight-ahead jazz scene, but including the straight-ahead scene. So I may spend a longer time, I'm not sure, but at the very least I'll have another year.
Well, you know what? How wonderful is that? I'm glad to hear you say that about Cal Arts, Alex, because we so need to expand our horizons and fully be cognizant of the fact that jazz started in the United States. But I love the interpretations of what it is around the world, and I know that you do too.
Right. Yeah, it's really become
beautiful.
A world music. It's become a true world music. So.
Oh, yeah. And to hear, to, you know, when you go listen to somebody who's in southern France as opposed to northern Africa, or somebody in Czechoslovakia or Japan, and they have all these wild feelings and notions of instrumental music that sounds like jazz, so I'll call it that.
Right.
Man, it's awesome. Are you happy about the way things are going in your career? Are you getting fueled up? You've got to be, because you're going to be in New York tomorrow and then coming to D.C. and Annapolis, so guess you are.
Yeah, I definitely am. I mean, this tour honestly has been some of the most fun I've had playing, like in all of my time playing. The band is like, we're just becoming really like a synergistic. Sum is greater than the total is greater than the sum of its parts type vibe with Brian and Tyler. It's just been awesome. Like, the growth, even though this is really day six of the tour. But we have another 2 weeks after Annapolis. We're at Twins for those three nights, and then we have a day off, and then we go to Westchester, Pennsylvania for a fundraising house concert that's going to be really great that a friend is putting on.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. And then we play Regatta Bar in Boston that Thursday, the 7th.
Wonderful.
And then we have a house concert back in Northampton, Mass. And then we actually, believe it or not, we're playing Northampton Jazz or the Springfield Jazz Festival with Grace Kelly on saxophone.
Oh my God! So, I love Grace. She's a friend of mine. She's been here a few times.
Oh wow! Yeah, I love her too. And it's our first time playing together, but we're gonna be a quartet for that. So.
Are you kidding? Oh my God! Look, this youngin. She just turned 21, Alex.
Jeez.
And she
she
is, Grace is another subject entirely, because she is so steeped in jazz tradition and has worked with some major gurus in jazz, but her wings are spread so wide. You should hear some tracks from this new CD. Your mind's going to be blown.
Yeah, I think she might have played, because I just saw her play actually a couple times just in the last 3 weeks. I think she was playing some of the stuff off of that.
Oh,
very, like, very, very deep stuff, I thought.
Ethereal. It's this jazz ambient hybrid, if you will, that's just right up her alley, because she's a vocalist as well as a saxophonist. So good for you. You're going to play with Grace. Give her a hug for me, please.
I will.
Man.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
Yeah. Yeah. And refresh me. Are you at 49 West on Thursday night in Annapolis?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, 49 West, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Thursday night.
That's a very nice venue. That's just a couple of doors down from Ram's Head, by the way.
Okay.
Yep.
And, Elena Bird has been promoting that concert. I don't know if you know Elena.
Yes, I do. Yes.
So, yeah, we've been part of her, I think it's called Bird Talks. yeah.
No surprise.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, you're in the company with some right people. You've just dropped a few names here, and it's very impressive. So you're in this beautiful path, and you know what? I'm just going to say to you, because I'm way older than you are, and you know it's true. I'm going to be mama here. You just make sure that you stay in that joy. You stay, in the immortal words of your friend Chris Patashall, enjoy, okay?
You got it.
Yes, yes.
Do.
And listen, I'm going to try my best to see you. It's going to be real busy over the next few days, but I don't want to miss you. So send your good energy to me and see if we can make this come to pass, because there's going to be a lot of folks who will come to Annapolis and New York and D.C. and then Boston. The house concert sounds great in Westchester. That's right outside of Philly.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome. I think that's like a – you can see all the details for all these on my website, which is just www.alexsnydmanmusic.com.
Yep.
Snydman is spelled S-N-Y-D-M-A-N.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, check all the details, but I think that one's a closed event. Not really. I mean, I'm sure you could come, Trish.
Probably be better suitable for me in my circumstances to come to Annapolis or D.C., but I am tickled about all these dates. This is some kind of tour. I'm so happy for you, really.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the most I've ever toured under my own name, and I'm really, really psyched about it. It was a lot of work putting together, but it's been so fun so far.
Yeah, I was privy to that kind of work. I know you put a lot of energy into this.
Yeah,
well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'll do is I'm going to throw a note out to friends who usually – artists who usually play 49 West, like Frank Russo and Amy Shook, and make sure that they know that you're going to be there Thursday. So there may be some artists who drop by and check you out from the area.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be really,
that's
really
very
great.
Cool.
I'd appreciate that.
Well, you appreciate everything. You do. You are a major appreciator.
Thanks. You as
very
well.
Generous
you as well.
Well,
so are you, Trish.
It's just whatever serendipity that our paths would cross, and it's no accident. There's no such thing as coincidence. So, we'll just do what we can to support and encourage each other on this road of life. You know, we will.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you, Trish Hennessy. It's you're doing a really great thing.
Well, thank you. And look, that the move is coming up in December, but just because that move to Florida is going to be happening doesn't mean that I'm going to forget the inroads and all of what this could possibly mean, because, Alex, I'm trying to find a definitive place for my jazz friends to play in Southwest Florida. So be looking out.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome.
Yes, it would be. You'll need a vacation. You need to do more than an East Coast tour. You need to do a Southern tour.
Totally, yeah. If we can move it south and extend it, that'd be really cool.
Yes.
That'd be really cool.
All right. Well, I'm going to play Tell Me a Bedtime Story, because I love the way you do this Herbie Hancock song, and he needs to know the way you do this song. So somehow, some way, he will. And I wish I could hug you. I'm hugging you right now over the phone.
Oh, me too. Me too. It's soon. Hopefully, let's see if you can make a show. And
yeah,
we'll do more virtual hug again.
Yes, that will always be an ongoing thing. You please be careful on the road, would you?
You will do. Definitely, definitely. I got good wingmen with me.
Oh, good. Yes, you do. In multiple ways, Alex.
Nice. Sorry, Kat. Nice.
Yes. All right. Looking forward to the new CD down the road. Looking forward to the dates, and I'll keep folks apprised with any events page. I'll post them on Facebook for you.
Thank you, Trish.
You're welcome.
So much love to you. So much love to you.
So much love back to you. Thank you, Alex, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Alex Snydman, this is so cool. Fortunate Action. You know, you have to hear it start to finish. And there's a couple of tracks that Alex and his friends didn't write. One of them is a Duke Ellington Billy Strayhorn song, and another is Herbie Hancock's Tell Me a Bedtime Story. And here it is, 8.5 minutes worth on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
jug and laid back down. I woke up this morning, I got a jug and laid back down. I was searching for the future, but the blues is all I found. Came home last evening, found a note on my front door. Found a note on my front door. The note read, my baby left me, and she's never coming back no more. I should have known better, baby, 'cause my heart's been broke before. You know I should have known better, baby, 'cause my heart's been broke before. But the way you made love to me, I never thought it would happen no more. No, 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 no.
Am I ever going to follow anything after that? Woo! You know what? I am so psyched because I have this compilation disc that came to me out of the blue the other day. And I have been having such a ball with figuring out the whys and wherefores of all this new music, because it's all newer music. And that from one of the best jazz orchestras in the world, the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra with Ernie Andrews. So it's so exciting to be able to pass this along to you. First of all, this came out in June, so it's just a month old. And the song you heard was The Jug and I. But what we need to focus on for this particular time and space is the fact that John Clayton and Jeff Hamilton were so blown away. They had always respected the vocal abilities of Ernie Andrews and Barbara Morrison, based in the L.A. region. But they did not pay complete attention until there was this particular session in the past couple of years, or year and a half. And Ernie and Barbara were both at this jam session, whatever it was, and John and Jeff, and Jeff Hamilton and Jeff Clayton, both Jeffs, were all paying attention to the prowess that these two individuals have and what they brought into the room with the orchestra. So I'm thinking that they're all looking at one another and having the same thought at the same time. We really have to do a project combining all of our expertise to make these songs pop. So what they had was a treasure. It's called LA Treasures Project, and that's the name of the CD. Just amazing stuff. So it's sort of an homage to the West Coast, as it were. And it never sounded this better. The band, which was formed in 1985, it just has a particular way of coming to life with all those pieces. As Griselda said in the chat room, it sounded really sexy. It really does. Oh, my gosh. And by the way, it was recorded at the Alvis Showroom in San Pedro, California. So it has that as-it-happens sound, which you just can't duplicate. I mean, you know, the tools are great when you're recording a particular piece, but when you have that kind of joie de vivre and chemistry, and we're all excited to be here, you can just tell. We also heard Gerald Veasley, Better Get Hit in Your Soul. Those two songs sounded so good back-to-back. From the Electric Mingus Project in 2011. Gerald was on the show some time ago. Always good to have a Philly man on the show. Turned 59 yesterday. Got a couple of years ahead of you, Gerald. It's okay. Phew. Just in case you didn't know this about Gerald, he worked with Joe Zawinul from 1988 to 1995. Yes, he did. And part of the Odine Pope Saxophone Choir. Gerald does his thing, and he's a really humble guy. And if you want him to talk about the past, he sure will. But he focuses a lot on other people and how much he can help them, as opposed to the glory about what brought him to this table, which is a pretty big table, because Gerald's internationally known, and he's a wonderful guy, and his music reflects that. I think you probably know that too. All right, can we do a couple of real old songs? I mean, 1960s, 1970s, and then going back to 1953, maybe? I think Tony Bunn will appreciate this especially. Whew, man. These times, some of us were teenagers or in our early 20s. To have been a musician during these times must have been pretty heavy stuff. And the first couple of acts that you'll hear, they must have crossed paths. Blues Project, which wasn't around for a real long time, but the artists that were in the group made their forays into other kinds of avenues, which we'll discuss after the fact. But then from the mid-60s to the early 70s, the vibe was starting to change a little, and you'll be able to hear it. And then you'll really be thrown for a loop when you hear the third song. So here's 1966 from Projections, Blues Project and Flute Thing, written by member Al Cooper on Hyper Jazz.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I used to fall in love with all those boys who maul the young cuties. But now I find I'm more inclined to keep my mind on my duties. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine fin and hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I know you perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy. 'Cause my daddy, he treats it so well. There was a dame that a football game made long for the strong undergraddy. I never dream of making the team, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy. 'Cause my daddy, he treats it so well.
Something else, huh? Woo! 1953 from that bad Eartha. Eartha Kitt right there. Oh, my. Something else, huh? Yeah. If you only knew the length and breadth of the career of Eartha Kitt, you have to be of a certain age to remember when she was walking among us. She was born in 1927 and passed away on Christmas Day, 2008, one of the most live wires that ever took breath on this earth, seriously. I mean, actress, dancer, singer, extraordinary businesswoman to a very large extent, and political activist, but not in the way that you would necessarily think when you are thinking Eartha Kitt. At one point, the Vietnam War was going on, and Eartha was a guest in the White House when Lyndon Johnson was president. And Eartha, face-to-face with Mrs. Johnson, talked about the fact that we were raising our children only to be sent off and killed in war, and she made Mrs. Johnson burst into tears. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's my AOL, which I have to have on. But AOL, I'm saying goodbye to you soon. Eartha liked to stir the pot. Oh, did she ever. But, you know, along the way, won a few awards. And that song was from 1953. The song My Heart Belongs to Daddy was originally written in 1939 for a show. Yes, Yes, indeed. And in the show, it was called Leave It to Me. Mary Martin was the one who started the whole ball rolling, wearing a mink coat. And I think that you were getting the suggestion underneath the mink coat there was nothing else, because My Heart Belongs to Daddy was actually about a sugar daddy, Cole Porter song. So no surprise there. Anyway, here comes Eartha Kitt to record the song. There are others who have recorded the song. And I will say to you, even Marilyn Monroe, when she recorded it, I am a Marilyn Monroe fan, know that she was one of the sexier creatures for sure. But in juxtaposition to Eartha Kitt, Eartha Kitt in juxtaposition to anyone, really, you want to talk about straight-ahead sensuality? Phew, that woman had the market cornered. Catwoman, Emperor's New Groove, for those of a newer generation who would remember her with those particular parts. But she did an absolute plethora of different kinds of role-playing in her life. Fascinating creature. We really do miss her, many of us. Oh, Bobby Humphrey from 1973. Phew. 40 years of music, Bobby Humphrey. Yeah. Chicago Dam from Blacks and Blues. This is the album that also features Harlem River Drive, by the way. Just amazing. This is the kind of a vibe that Bobby brought to the Montreux Jazz Fest and tore up the Montreux Jazz Festival. And she had the added blessing of having Larry and Fonce Mizell on these tunes. So everything just popped. Oh, God, Bobby Humphrey, you cannot say enough about this woman, because she was a pioneer, came from Texas to New York City, took hold of her career in a business sense early on. She was something else. On that flute, she was monumentally artistically talented. And then for her to have the presence of mind to stand her ground with all these guys that were running the business, can't say enough. Bobby Humphrey, my pal. And also Flute Thing by Blues Project. Al Cooper wrote it, part of the group, along with Danny Kalb and Steve Katz. Phew, and Roy Blumenfeld. Just a couple of Jewish boys getting together and playing music. I love them so much. Ava Shainstein, my great-grandmother. How I wish you could have heard this music. Oh, my gosh. Second LP, and this was the one Projections that put them on the map, on the Verve Folkways record label. Steve Katz, by the way, and Al Cooper formed the nucleus of Blood, Sweat, and Tears when Blues Project kicked the bucket. But in the meantime, the Blues Project had some great tunage out there. And if you are a fan of the first BS&T LP, the first one I ever purchased, Child is Father to the Man, you know that Al's dream came true. He wanted to get the rock semblance of music and put it to a big band sound. Man, it was good. It's good. All right, let's see if we have a couple of tunes here. Let's see what we can do. Which one do I want to play? Let's see. Shall I go with an instrumental? I can only play one safely. Can we do this? Can we sort of end the show? We've got 10 minutes, but we can't play two songs. So how about if we do a Boz Scaggs song? Can we do that? From 2003, Just Cause. For All We Know, from But Beautiful on Hybrid Jazz.
For all we know, we may never meet again. Before you go, make this moment sweet again. We won't say goodnight until the last minute. I'll hold out my hand, and my heart will be in it for all we know. This may only be a dream. We come and go like a ripple on a stream. So love me tonight. Tomorrow was made for some. Tomorrow may never come. For all we know,
something. Ooh, Lord. Boz Skaggs. And I just wrote on Facebook, and I'll post it because I'm not finished writing the little blurb here. And I'm mindful of the time because there's about 4 minutes left. This man, to me, is underrated. I mean, I know he's had some accolades through the years, and he should have had them, but Boss Gags, no one sounds like Boss Gags. Nobody. And for him to have gone from blues to pop and rock and various acoustic and or electric avenues along the way, and then to morph into jazz effortlessly? Come on! You know, the closest I can think of to that kind of scenario is Ray Charles. I'm serious, because Boss Gags could do country, too, in a heartbeat. Give me a break. Wonderful stuff. William Royce Skeggs. He's called Bosley early on, and that got shortened to Boz. Whew, just turned 70. Yeah. 2003, but Beautiful is the name of the CD, and For All We Know, of course, the song. Has a son, by the way, Austin, who writes for Rolling Stone magazine. Yes! How about that? And Boz and his wife oversee this beautiful wine business in the Napa Valley that's doing extraordinarily well. If you go to his website, you will see carefully selected venues where he plays, because guess what? He does not have to work if he doesn't want to work. You know what I'm saying, don't you? He got money. Memphis is the name of his new project, but dip back, if you will, into time and get a hold of that vintage stuff, because Boz Skaggs was meant to sing jazz or pop standards, don't you think? Something else. Woo! So nice. Hey, listen, Thursday, David P. Stevens is going to kick off the show, and then Kenny Wesley. David P. Stevens has a new CD that's coming out. Oh, where do you hear this? And Kenny Wesley is going to be at Blues Alley, and he's also going to be with Christian DeMasones and the All-Stars coming up on Saturday in Northridge, Virginia. Thanks so much, Beach and Griselda. It's so nice to have you back. Love you. Tony Bunn stopped by and guests floating back and forth. We'll resolve these BTR issues, I promise you, in the days to come. Okay? Promise. Thanks. See you on Thursday.